Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas, and we're going to continue here in Romans chapter 12. We left off at verse 17. Recompense no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith Yahuwah. So, when someone wrongs you, you don't seek vengeance, you just let it go, if at all possible. And if it be possible, as much as lieth with you, live peaceably with all men. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And like I said, if it's possible, that is how we're to conduct ourselves. And some people would like to draw extreme illustrations, which I don't believe are applicable to overcoming evil with good. Certainly, if someone does evil, they should be punished for it. It doesn't mean that we should allow people to escape punishment for the terrible evils that are done to others in our society, but we need to hold them accountable. And sometimes that is, in most cases, that's the most loving thing to do, is to hold people accountable for their own actions. Otherwise, if they are allowed to continue to get away with their evil ways, they'll just continue into hell. However, if they're punished, who knows, they may repent, and it may lead them to salvation. And which leads us to one of the most famous chapters in the scripture, and that is Romans chapter 13, where we are now, and verse 1. So we're just going to wing it here. I don't have any prepared treatise on it, although there are a lot of good treatises out there on Romans chapter 13. You might look up Romans, you might Google Romans chapter 13 and John Weaver, for instance, if you want a really good take on Romans chapter 13. He put out a book once, and he's done many audio and video presentations on the topic of Romans chapter 13. So there's plenty of good research out there if you want it, and just giving you an idea of who I've learned under. But basically, I prefer, rather than learn under men, and yes, our Heavenly Father does teach us through men. He can open our eyes through men, because I know that our Heavenly Father's preferred way to work and to preferred way to perfect His people is through His people, working together, perfecting one another by His Spirit. He works through us to perfect one another. That's why I'm sitting here behind this mic, to help those that need understanding, that don't have time to study these things out for themselves, or perhaps need a little more long-suffering insight into the Scripture, who haven't had the time to look into it as long as I have, or don't have the advantage of my years or maturity to look into the Scripture and share with you whatever insight that I've gained over the years into His Word, and whatever insight His Holy Spirit may give me to share with you. So with all that, we continue in Romans chapter 13 and verse 1. Let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And what this means, children, is that you need to do whatever the government says, right? You know, there are those out there that would have you believe that. But that's not what it says. It says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. So no matter what station you are in life, there is a higher power. There is an authority over you. From the least of us to the greatest of us. from the least of us in the society to the greatest of us in any society, there is a higher power. And it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. Now, for instance, there are people that work for the government, and they think the government is the higher power, but it is not. Our heavenly Father, the government is nothing but an image. It doesn't really exist except in the minds of men. At best, it's an organization to accomplish things for the betterment of the society and to protect the society. At best, that's what it is. At worst, it's an image that people worship. It's an image that people look to as their final authority. It's an image that people look to for privileges rather than rights, from which people believe that privileges are derived, and they call them rights. But the person in the government is to be subject to the higher power, that higher authority. And always, what is the highest authority? What is the highest power? Well, it always goes up to God, to our Creator. That's right. He is the highest authority. So every soul is subject to the higher powers, and that means every soul is subject to the law of God. And it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. So every soul on its own, every man, woman, and child on their own are to allow themselves, are to let themselves be subject to God, consciously, on purpose, with intent, let every soul. And that excludes no one. Everyone is subject to the higher power. Now, if the government is your highest power, then the government is your God, because your God is your highest power. That's right. And you're worshiping an image made by men. You're worshiping an image on earth of something in heaven. You're worshiping a false god, something fashioned by men. But there is a higher power, and you're supposed to let yourself be subject to the higher power. So even if the government tells you to do something you know is wrong, you need to quit your job. I heard a rumor that there are DHS agents that are quitting their jobs because the government is requiring them, by decree of their gods, of their Elohim, gods, judges, same word in the Hebrew, to tear up families against God's law, the highest power. So they should do the right thing and quit their job. If your job requires you to break God's law, then you need to subject yourself, let yourself be subject to the higher power, and quit your job. And by faith, know that He will take care of you. Because He said, seek first the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So that means to put His righteousness first. That's another way of saying, be subject to the higher power, isn't it? Seek first the kingdom of heaven and His righteousness. Be subject to the higher power. So there's no excuse for anyone. They can't say, well, the government made me do it, or it was my job, or I was under orders. And you know what? Even man's law has acknowledged that fact. They had the Nuremberg trials. Didn't they convict a lot of those people that went on trial for the atrocities? Don't they hold them accountable? Yes, they were under orders. But they were to be subject to a higher power, and that is the law of God. Because basically, that is the law that they were holding them to. Thou shalt not murder. Now, you can kill in war and it's not murder, but sometimes it is murder. And when it's murder, you're to be subject to the higher power, because you can kill to defend your own life. You can kill in battle. When someone's shooting at you, you can shoot back at them, because that's what war is about. Not a good thing, but sometimes it's necessary. And if you're in that situation, regardless of who's behind it and how you got there, sometimes it would be better to not join the war at all. But so many people are deceived. Or you could be forced into a situation where you have to defend your own life in a war. But to kill innocents, to do the atrocities that were committed during the war, to kill people in Germany because you were inducted into the SS or as part of the military, and to kill people because they didn't believe, because they were conscientious objectors, or just because of their nationality or their creed or their religion, to take part in that, where it would be better to lay down your life to even, because what's, you know, what does the scripture say? Fear not him. And I'll tell you what, I believe that there were men who refused the orders, who refused to carry out orders to break God's law in those situations, who forfeited their own lives. Because the scripture says, fear not him who can kill the body, but fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. Yes. So you have your marching orders from the highest power. Fear not him who can kill the body. Fear him who can cast both body and soul into hell. So when you think, well, I have to compromise, I have to do this murder, or they're going to murder me, count the costs. But count the eternal costs, not the temporal costs. You may never have a chance to repent. And your heart may become so hard that you will not repent. Because once you give way to the devil, you never know where it's going to end up. And you never know how you are going to end up. So even if it costs you your life, you subject yourself unto the higher power. And that is the power of God and His authority. And I've heard one teacher out here who's teaching this nonsense that we should not interpret the word here, power, exousia. And perhaps I'll go into that for a minute for all of those who heard this abhorrent teaching out there, this teaching in error. He says that this doesn't mean to be subject to the higher authority or jurisdiction or government or power or something like that, like I'm trying to tell you. But actually, this is, he says that the word power here should be interpreted as liberty. Be subject to the higher liberty. Well, what does that mean? We have liberty to sin? We have liberty to do whatever we want? See, now, you know, now we can interpret, now we have to decide how we're going to interpret liberty. But how did he come to that conclusion? And a lot of people make this mistake, is they'll go to the Greek and Hebrew, the Strong's Concordance, and then they treat the Strong's Concordance as if it is the Word of God. And it is not. It's not a multiple choice. Because every time you mouse over a word, if you got your e-sword out, you mouse over a word, you get multiple choice. And some people like to do that. They like to say, well, which word do I like here? No, we need to have a little bit of faith in the translators here. And if you feel that, you know, you can't trust the translators, well, then do that and find out. You can highlight the word there, and I guess I'm going to do that right now, since we won't lose our place. I'm going to highlight the number there, 1849. And if you got your e-sword open, you can do this with me. In Romans chapter 13 and verse 1, where it says, let every soul be subject to the higher powers. And the word powers there is 1831, I mean 1849. And if I double-click on it, it comes down in my little Strong's window there. And I highlight it at the same time I double-click it. And I can go down there and I can see it's exousia. Exousia. From G, 1832, in the sense of ability, privilege, that is, subjectively, force, capacity, competency, freedom, or objectively, mastery. And it goes on. It says, magistrate, superhuman, potentate, token of control, delegated influence. And you can see how you, if you're a multiple choice type of person who likes to say, well, I like this word here instead of the word the translator gave it, then you can see at the bottom of the list there, you can see the word liberty. And you go, huh, well, that's interesting. So could I really read this? Let every soul be subject to the higher liberty? Well, certainly that doesn't make sense, because how are you subject to liberty? I mean, how does subjection and liberty, two seemingly contradictory words, come together? You have an oxymoron. You're not subject to liberty. You're subject to authority. You're subject to power. You're subject to control. You're subject to jurisdiction. You're subject to power. You're subject to strength. You're subject to all these things, to a magistrate. But you're not subject to liberty. The words subject and liberty are oxymorons. So here's what I'm going to do to even prove this out further and to demonstrate how to use the E-sword here. We're looking at Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and on our E-sword, and the word powers, and after the phrase, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, I double-click on the 1849 there, and it highlights the number, and then I go over to the binoculars there, and I click on the binoculars, and that puts the 1849 in the search window. And then I click on the search button. First, I'm going to click New Testament, because it's only in the New Testament, because it's a Greek word. And I'm going to click on Search. And the word comes up 93 times. Well, that's a lot of times to go through, isn't it? And it says 93 verses, one word, 103 times. So 93 verses. So if I click on the first one, and this is going to take a little doing, so I hope you'll endure with me. And it says, he taught them as one having authority. So the word there is authority. Next one, authority. Next one, next occurrence is power. So we're seeing how the word has translated. Power and authority. Power on the next one. Power on the next one. Authority. Power. Well, here's what I want to do, is I want to find out where liberty and the number is used. So I've got the number already there. I'm going to add the word liberty to my search engine and see how it was used with liberty, or how it was translated liberty. So I'm going to do that. One verse you have to go on. Now, that's not a lot to go on. You can't build a doctrine on one verse, but let's see how that was used. But take heed, and this is in 1 Corinthians 8:9, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. You know, that doesn't tell me a whole lot. I think I need to actually look at it there. So I'm going to accept, and I'm going to go to the context there and read before. Okay, and see how liberty is, see if we can really use this interpretation of liberty to interpret Romans chapter 13 and verse 1 differently. So I'm going to go to 1 Corinthians 8:8. But meat commendeth not us unto God. Okay. So we're talking about the law here. Paul is talking to the Corinthians. But unto us there is one God, the Father, of whom all things, we in him, and Lord Jesus Christ, whom things are, 7. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of the idol unto this hour eat as a thing offered unto an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. So he's talking about eating meat sacrificed to idols, and he's saying that if a man eats and it bothers his conscience, then he shouldn't eat because he's offending God by his conscience. And he's saying, but meats commendeth us not to God, for neither if we eat are we the better, neither if we eat are we not, or are we the worse? So he's saying meat being sacrificed to an idol is nothing, but if it bothers you, and you feel that you're sinning by doing it, then you're weak. So let's see. So he says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to them that are weak. So, and you know what? We could replace the word power there easily. This power of yours. You have the power to eat any meat, whether it has been by voodoo sacrificed to an idol, because those are only words, and the meat is still meat, because nothing in itself is evil. No created thing of itself is evil. And that's the point. So that really has nothing to do and does not work in the translation of let every soul be subject to the higher powers. We really can't substitute the word liberty there, and we really don't have enough other references in the scripture to warrant that. We have that one reference where the word exousia, power, is translated as liberty, and in that case, in that context, it is rightly translated liberty, although in no other place in the whole New Testament is the word exousia translated as liberty. So that would be a bad translation. I would have to go with the King James translators on this one, so I'll stick to it, that the power is authority, okay, government or whatever. So what is it? Be subject to the higher power. So we always have a higher power, and that is every soul is to be subject to the higher power, and the highest power always is the law of God, because His law rules over the whole universe, and anything less than that is idolatry. You're listening to Cross the Border, and we'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.